Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you all. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to read a story to you. It's written by Walt Lindgren, Jr. You may have heard it. It's called The Rag Man. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing my life had ever sensed. Nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush, child, hush now, and I will tell you. Even before dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with cloths, bright and new. And he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Ah, the air was foul and at first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags! New rags for old! I take your tired rags! Rags!" Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself. For the man stood 6'4", and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular. And his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The rag man stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans, dead toys, and Pampers. "Give me your rag," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped a handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then as he began to pull his cart away, the rag man did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his face. And then he began to weep, to sob so grievously as she had done. His shoulders were shaking. Yet she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing rag man like a child who cannot turn away from mystery. "Rags! Rags! New rags for old!" In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the rag man came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall rag man looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers, and I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags! Rags! I take old rags!" he cried, sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent rag man. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The rag man seemed more and more to hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. The rag man pressed him, "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, the flat cuff stuffed into the pocket. He had no arm. So the rag man said, "Give me your jacket and I will give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the rag man, and I trembled at what I saw. For the rag man's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs. But the rag man had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched, wizened, and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk, he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman. Though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city. This mile and the next until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet I needed to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old rag man, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket, and he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junked car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope, because I had come to love the rag man. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died. I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and its night too? But then on Sunday morning, I was wakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light, slammed against my sour face, and I blinked and I looked, and I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the rag man folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow nor of age in all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the rag man. I told him my name was Shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. Then I took off all my clothes in that place, and I said to him with a dear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." He dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The rag man, the Christ. Rags, rags, new rags for old. That is literally what Jesus does for us. He takes the rags of our lives and turns them into new clothes. He takes those rags, he takes those sins of ours and puts them on him. And as he takes those sins and puts them on him, we are made clean, we are made whole, we are made new, and we are given a new life. And it's not just once a year, it's not just once a lifetime, it is each and every single morning we are given a new life. For us, going to sleep is almost kind of like a mini death. We are putting ourselves into God's hands and trusting that we will wake up again in the morning. And while we are sleeping, our body and mind are being mended and repaired so that when we wake up, we can go out into the world again anew. The Easter resurrection is not just a one time. It happens each and every day, and Christ arises within us. For me, the hardest part of that story is the end, when the author walks up to Jesus and says, "Dress me." To me, that is the ultimate form of submission, standing there naked before God and asking for forgiveness and to be made whole again. That is a level of humility that I don't know if I have. It's a struggle to attain. And yet that is all we have to do, to humble ourselves and to ask God to make us whole again. That is what the Easter story is all about. Christ emptying himself upon the cross and taking away our sins and making us whole again. It's Christ who does the hard work. Because we are already standing naked before God, we just don't realize it. And so it would be like the women who go to the tomb expecting to prepare a dead body for a funeral, but instead we meet nothing. We meet an empty tomb. I saw a post on Facebook this morning that Never has emptiness brought so much fullness. When we talk about that empty tomb and the fullness of Christ that it brings to us. And when we hear that raggedy man calling out, rags, rags, new rags for old, we know that Christ is calling out for us. Alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.